Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. And now, here are Bob and Richard.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
And I'm Richard Munchkin.
Our guest today is value seeker Jimmy Jazz. Jimmy looks for bargains in a variety of places that are applicable to gamblers and others. Jimmy Jazz, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
Thanks. Always good to be here.
All right. You sent us a note on Harris now has a credit card. Is this a good one to get?
Well, Harris actually has had a credit card for a while, and what they've done recently is increase the sign-up bonus. So now the sign-up bonus is 20,000 reward credits and a $40 food credit if you spend $1,750 in the first 3 months. So it's basically double of what they were offering previously. And then the advantage for Harrah's customers is 5x points at Harrah's properties, 2x on gas, and 1x on all others. Now, it's a better credit card than it used to be, but I still don't think it's good enough to acquire when there's other more valuable credit cards out there. To me, the big advantage is the sign-up bonus, and you get to keep your Harrah's points alive if you don't live near a Harrah's property and can pop in once every 6 months. Or if you spend just a boatload at Harrah's casino, hotels, and restaurants, because you basically get, 2.5%. It would work out to 2.5% in cash or 5% in comps. So that's a pretty good little perk. But I still think there's better credit cards out there.
What about, does it give you any kind of a parking benefit?
I don't think so. Not the Harrah's card. The MGM M Life card does. And go ahead.
Before we get to the MGM, so we're still on Harrah's, or are you switched over to
yes.
MGM?
Nope, we can stay on Harrah's.
The 5x points is only on money spent, or is that on points played?
Money spent. So if you want to go to a nice restaurant and actually pay for it, that would work out. I have a buddy of mine who works for a business in Arizona, and they go to some of the conventions in Las Vegas. So he charges on his card the company expenses at the hotels, and they stay at Harrah's properties. So, three nights at a business rate times the 5% is a good deal for him. And in that case, it kind of makes sense. But I would say for the vast majority of people, there's better credit cards out there.
And, are you saying that because it's now more difficult to get lots of credit cards? I mean, it's free to have the card, so, or is it just that so many places are cracking down on the number of cards you can have that this may fill up a spot?
It could. I still think there's other cards you could get that are better. And also the bank behind the Harrah's card is a bank called Comenity, which I've never really heard of, and that always gets me a little concerned. So that's one strike against it, is the bank that backs the card I haven't really heard of. So,
can you use a credit card for World Series of Poker entries?
I think you can, but there might be a fee associated with it. I know they started that a couple of years ago. It hasn't been a real popular option from what I've read, but I think there's a 2 or 3% fee to use a credit card for the entries.
Like a cash advance fee?
Not a cash advance, just a service fee. Cash advance fees are usually a little bit higher than that.
But if you could do this without that fee, getting 5x points on your World Series poker entries might make it worthwhile.
It might. Like I said, there's a few people who might benefit from this card, but like I said, for the vast majority of people, the Chase Southwest cards are better cards. The Chase Freedom card is a better card. So it's good that they're getting more competitive, but they're not to the level where it's of interest just yet.
All right, let's move on.
Okay.
There is some talk of an MGM Caesars merger. What do you think that'll happen, and how does that affect anything?
Well, I mean, the fact that they're kind of talking about it in the papers and the negotiations that are ongoing, to me, indicates it's a good chance it'll happen. And given the two huge companies, it might take a while because I have to imagine there's all kinds of legal paperwork and requirements and regulations to go through before you have two companies that size merged together. And there might be some antitrust issues, too, with them becoming that big. But the fact that they're talking about it and it's been in the papers, I think there's a good chance it'll happen at some point. To me, what will be interesting is what happens to the benefits of the two companies. Will that allow me to park for free at Harris Properties if I have a Pearl card at MGM? Or will I get the equivalent to a Diamond card at MGM Properties from my Harris Diamond card? That's the kind of things I'd be interested in finding out. And I'm not sure how all that will work out. And, you know,
well,
given how
the other thing, I would also think that if they merged, they would have to divest some of the casinos in Las Vegas. You know, I don't know that they can own that many of the casinos on the Strip as one company. So, you know, if they get sold off some of those, that could be a good thing for players.
Right. And I'm not sure the regulations say you can't have so much of the market in a given location or not. I don't know how that works. But Harris has 40 properties throughout the world. MGM probably has 30. So Las Vegas is a significant portion, but it's not the overwhelming portion that used to be.
Yeah, but they each own about 40% of the Strip properties, and Vegas is such a major gambling hub. It will definitely be in the conversation.
Yeah, and like I said, there's a ton of stuff to work out before that'll happen, but it's worth at least thinking about.
Yeah, and then there's the issue of this would affect me. I'm currently welcome to play it at Harrah's. And MGM not so much. So how does that all work out? I assume it means I'm welcome to play nowhere, but I don't know that that's true.
And I know a bunch of people in the reverse situation who aren't welcome at Harris properties. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah. I would be... lack of competition of the two biggest casino companies in the probably in the world would certainly not be good for players.
No, all probably right. Not.
Groupon Select, what's that all about?
I think Groupon Select is trying to compete with like Amazon Prime, so it's another. Feature that saves you some money. And the way it works is it costs you $5 a month to join, and they're running a promo where your first month is free. And what that fee gets you is 25% off Groupon local offers, 10% off Groupon travel offers, and free shipping on Groupon goods. So the break-even point for the six-month trial is if you spend $100 on Groupon local offers in 6 months, you'll break even. So we're doing our 20th anniversary Hawaii trip in a couple weeks, and we need to park at the airport in Detroit. So parking is usually between $8 and $11 a day, and you can usually get a buck off or so. So it'll be $9 or $10 to park, and it's going to be 10 days, so that's $90 or $100. So there was a Groupon through a company called Valley Connections that has 10 days of parking for $55. So that's a pretty good deal. And then my wife, Haley, runs her usual deals with Mr. Rebates, which is a rebating company. We purchase the Groupon gift cards from Kroger, where we get basically 20% off on gas. So that that helps out a lot. And then with this Groupon Select, that'll save us another $13.75. So instead of $55, which is a very good deal, it's going to cost us about $27, which is an even better deal. I also took a look at the Las Vegas market and picked two examples. So there's currently a Groupon for the Caesars Bacchanal Brunch that includes two drinks and a line pass, and the list price is $194, which sounds a little bit high for that, but that's okay. The Groupon price is $88, and if you use the Groupon Select, you'll save $22 off of that. So $66 for two Caesars Bacchanal brunches with drinks is a pretty good deal. Another one was the Envy Steakhouse, dinner for two with drinks. They listed it at $199. The Groupon is $115, and the Groupon Select will save you another $29, which makes it $86 for two for dinner and drinks, which is a pretty good deal. So if you're a Groupon person already, to me, this makes a lot of sense. Spending $100 in Groupon offers in 6 months is very, very, very easy to do. And anything after that, you will be saving some money on the deal. I haven't used Groupon Travel or Groupon Goods, so that could be even a more lucrative offer.
All right. The next Groupon thing I use will be my first one.
I'll send you a referral.
Good. But
you don't go anywhere, Bob. So I don't think it would help you, right? There are no comps there. So
yeah, it's hard to beat free meals.
Well, Groupon does more than just meals, though. So, I mean, they have a whole range of stuff they do. You know, sometimes they'll have a deal on an oil change for your car. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. So it's worth taking a look at.
Okay. And if I do, I promise I will get in touch with you for the referral and get you an extra $5 there or whatever that is. Okay.
Very good.
What is... we spoke a little bit about the Las Vegas Advisor DraftKings promotion. Why don't you remind our listeners what it is?
Well, this was in the November issue of the Las Vegas Advisor. So if you don't have a DraftKings account currently, you have to be a new sign up for that. You sign up, deposit $5, and you get a year of the Las Vegas Advisor, the members reward book, free shipping on the members reward book, a book on fantasy sports by Bill Ordine, and a $3 entry into one of their tournaments. So for $5, you get at least the Las Vegas Advisor and the Members Reward Book, which to me is a tremendous value. I've been a customer of the Las Vegas Advisor for 30 years as a paying customer, and I've gotten at least twice the value out of it every single year I've had it. So to me, this is a tremendous deal. It's also listed on the Las Vegas Advisor website.
All right.
Just to mention, there are some states where DraftKings is and FanDuel are not legal, Nevada being one of them. So unfortunately, if you're in Nevada, you can't take advantage of that.
I talked to Anthony Curtis a little bit, and he said he's going to do something for New Jersey sports bettors in a similar vein, but didn't have all the details yet. So for the folks in New Jersey, that'll be something to look for as well.
Okay. The next category is tickets on the floor. Ticket in, ticket out, you find one that belongs to somebody else. So what do you have to say about that?
Well, I was in Laughlin January of this year, and I found a $20 ticket on the floor. And I had heard various things about how those are handled, and it was a fairly small amount, so I wanted to see what would happen. So I went over to the diamond area and said, I found this ticket, what happens? So they called over a supervisor, and he took the ticket, and he said, I said, what's going to happen now? And he goes, well, if we can find the person, you know, if they were playing with their Slack Club card and we can track them down and we find the person, we will return the ticket to them. And I said, well, what happens if you don't find the person? And they said, we will turn it into the state of Nevada, which I thought was interesting. I mean, I don't see why the state of Nevada should get that ticket, but that's a different topic. And what kind of bothered me is I checked with the same employee 4 hours later and asked them if they found the owner, and he said he hadn't even started to look for the person yet. So, I mean, I know it's a small amount, but I went through the trouble to take basically cash off the floor and try and find the rightful owner, and Harrah's and Laughlin kind of treated it like I was bothering them. So that was an unsatisfying outcome for me. Now,
well, Harrah's is known for their exemplary customer service. So,
but you know, Harrah's Laughlin, I've always had very good service there, and been very well taken care of at the Harrah's Laughlin property. So that surprised me that them being a smaller market and kind of more of a family atmosphere, to where they, you know, they actually seem like they're happy that you come and gamble in their casino, unlike the Harrah's properties in Las Vegas. So that's why I was surprised that they treated it like that.
I'm not so sure it is Harrah's Laughlin treated like that, rather that particular employee treated it like that on that day.
That could very well be. So I try not to make a judgment on somebody based on one interaction, so I will give them the benefit on that one. Now, I know some folks who work at the Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo, Michigan, which is an Indian property. And what I was told there is when they find when they find credits left on the machine, they'll cash them out and they put them into an employee fund. And the fund is used to help employees who have, you know, issues, either health bills they can't cover or, you know, whatever the situation is. So to me, that's a good use of it. And it might be different rules because they're an Indian casino and Harrah's Laughlin isn't. But, I mean, for future, if I find a small ticket on the floor, I'm just going to keep it. And if I find credits in the machine, I'll probably wait for maybe 10 or 15 minutes by the machine. But I don't think I'm going to turn it in to a non-Indian casino and say, here you go. And then if you can't find the person, they'll turn it over to the state of Nevada.
Well, you have to be very careful about that depending on where you are. I have heard several stories of people in Colorado being arrested for picking up tickets that did not belong to them. And I'm talking about for minor amounts, less than a dollar, people have been arrested. So it just seems like maybe Colorado was on the warpath in particular. You know, different casinos get a bug up their ass about certain issues.
Right.
So, you know, I'd be really careful about pocketing a ticket that wasn't yours, just because usually the amount of money is so small, it's just probably not worth the risk.
Yeah, the Detroit area, they had a case at Motor City about 12 or 15 years ago. A lady found a nickel in a machine and took it, and they arrested her, and big lawsuit, and Motor City got hit with an $875,000 judgment against them. So I think the Detroit casinos have probably learned their lesson on that. Recently, my wife found a credits in a machine. There was like $286. So she sat there for a while and waited, and nobody showed up, and we decided that was a gift and went on our way.
You know, if I was – now, in that case – if I would sit down at that machine, the very first thing I would do is put money into it.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you can, you know, you can say, hey, I didn't even realize I put my money in, you know, and play, you know, you can play a bit and then cash it out. And at least you have plausible deniability in that case.
Yeah, I think that's actually what she did. She put her money in and then looked at the credits and said, hey, that's not right. I think that's how she realized that there was actually money in there. And if the person came back, I would say, you know, how much did you have? And if they were close on the number, I'd say, here you go. But I turning it in, though, just it almost seems, I don't know what the word is for it, but it seems like that money, there's zero chance it's going to go back to the rightful owner if I turn it into the casino.
Yeah.
$200 is different than 20 cents, though.
True.
I just don't want to follow up on that one, but I see a lot of abandoned tickets of less than a nickel. You'll see a ticket for 3 cents and just left intentionally. I'm assuming they just didn't want to deal with the pennies. Now, they don't want to deal with the pennies. I certainly don't want to deal with the pennies and the possible things. I'm assuming if you see one for 2 cents, you will pick it up and cash it.
Sure.
Okay. So, to me, 2 cents is worth basically nothing, and the risk is pretty high. So,
right, but the risk to you and the risk to me is vastly different.
They're valid point.
Yeah. So, I mean, I seriously doubt, especially in the Detroit area, after that huge lawsuit, if I find a quarter in a machine and I cash it out, anybody's going to say anything. I think I could do that right in front of an employee and they wouldn't say anything. Because I think they realize it's not worth the trouble.
Yeah, Michigan may be a different situation than other markets.
And I've never actually seen the actual law that says picking that up is illegal. I'll have to do a little research on that one. It'd be interesting to see exactly what the statute says.
Well, and the statute may be different in different states.
Right. Right.
All right. We're talking to Jimmy Jazz. We're going to take a brief break for some commercials, and we'll be back. The South Point has more than 10,000 games, returning more than 99%. This is more than anyone else has. In December, the South Point is running its usual half price on almost everything deal, where you use your points starting as soon as the NFR rodeo is over until Christmas Eve. This year it begins Sunday, December 16th and goes through Monday, December 24th. If you pay with your points, virtually everything is half off. Especially good things would be New Year's Eve tickets. And if you're someone who really enjoys the gourmet food at Michael's and finds it too expensive for your taste, on half off, it's quite a bit of a better deal. Christmas Day, December 25th, there'll be double points for video poker. Players, penny slots get 10 times points, and all other slots get 5 times. Keep in mind that at the South Point, the basic points are 0.30, so double points here is equivalent to 6 times points at many other casinos. The new semester free video poker classes begins Tuesday, January 8th of next year. At videopoker.com, it's the best place to play lots of games. If you sign up for the Gold membership, $8.95 a month or $79.95 a year, this allows you to get correction on most of the games. The game of the week is 100 Play with Quick Quads. Quick Quads is a 6-coin per line game where you get Quick Quads, which are 3 of a kind, accompanied by the other 2 cards that add up to the rank of the trips, such as 99954 or 444-3-ace or 444-2-2. In my opinion, Quick Quads is much more fun to play than regular video poker. I've not seen the 100-play version in any decent pay schedule, but when I find it, I'll definitely sit down and play. In week 6 of next year's video poker semester, that's actually not true. Never mind. That was last year's semester that is still undeleted from my notes, and now it's deleted. There will be one Quick Quads game taught in the in next semester. Every Quick Quad games is different, but they do have a lot of similarities from game to game. All right, we're now going back to Jimmy Jazz. Toll roads and transponders update. So you've had your trouble with these things in the past. What's happened recently?
You know, I think it's me and electronics in general. If there's a way for a device to go bad or not function, it does that with me. So just something that seems to happen. I had a trip to Ohio, and I was going to be taking the Ohio Turnpike. So I got on their website and took a look at how their toll road works. And their website stated that you can either use a transponder or grab a ticket the old-fashioned way. You get the ticket, and then when you exit, you pay the ticket like you did years ago. So I had an Avis rental, and it had a transponder in the vehicle. And this transponder was a little bit different in that there was a lever on the right side of the transponder. And if you kept the lever closed, the transponder was not supposed to activate. And if you slid the lever to the right, it was supposed to do the cashless function. So they now were giving you an option where you could use their device, pay their service fee, and pay their toll rate, or leave the device in the off position and pay your tolls the old-fashioned way, assuming that the toll road accepted payment. And the Ohio Turnpike does accept payment. So I thought everything was good, and we get on the turnpike, and as soon as we pull up to the gate opens, and it says, basically, go on your way. So even though the transponder was in the off position, it registered. So I pressed the service button and talked to the attendant and told him what happened, and he was kind of like, there's nothing really I can do. I said, well, how about you just give me a ticket? And he said, okay. And he went, and he had to go through this manual process to get them to print out the little ticket that shows where I entered the turnpike. So I go on my way, and when we exit, the transponder registers again. And I press the service button, and the lady comes out, and I tell her what happens. And again, she's kind of like, there's really nothing I can do. So I said, I'll tell you what, why don't I pay you, and you write me a hand receipt, and then I'll negotiate with the third-party Avis company that handles tolls. So she said, okay, and I got the ticket and paid her the money and went on my way. So we did our activities the next day, and then I looked at the literature for the transponder and the information in the vehicle, and everything we did was correct, and it shouldn't have registered that there was a transponder because it was in the off position. All right, so then we go on our way home, enter the toll booth, and lo and behold, it spits out a ticket because it didn't read the transponder. So now I have my hard copy ticket. I go on my way. When I exit the turnpike, it reads the transponder. So again, hit the service button, talk to the lady, and this lady was pretty much saying, there's nothing I can do. And I said, well, let me pay you. And she goes, no, I can't accept your money. And I said, well, at least let me keep a copy of the hard ticket I had. She goes, no, I need to take that. I didn't quite understand why, but I said, tell you what, I will take a picture of the ticket. So I took a picture of the ticket. It registered to the toll company, and I went on my way. So I called the Avis e-tolls customer service number, and they had a feature where if there isn't a customer service rep available, they'll call you back. So 3 hours later, they call me back. We go through the whole story, and she tells me, okay, obviously it malfunctioned. That wasn't your fault. You'll get billed within 6 weeks. And when you do, provide all the information back to us at this email address, and we'll take care of it all. So I said, all right. So about a week, maybe 10 days later, I get the charge on my credit card. I call the Avis folks back, tell them what happened, tell them to reference the original call. And they said, okay, send me a copy of everything and we'll take care of it. So that was 2 weeks ago, and I emailed them again a week ago, and I emailed them again 2 days ago, and no response yet. So I went through the trouble to dispute the charge with my credit card company this morning, and we'll see what happens. So basically, they have a device that doesn't work or doesn't work how it's supposed to. There's no option not to use their device if you rent their vehicle. It's auto-billed to your credit card, and the process to get their defective device fixed is a royal pain. So
is there, can you, does every single Avis car have that device, or can you request a car that doesn't have one?
You know, I don't know that. I had another rental from a different car company that didn't have a device on it. So I don't know if it's by car company or part of the fleet or what, but that's something worth looking into. But in this case with Avis, it doesn't work well. And, you know, from talking to the toll booth attendants, they were like, yeah, this happens all the time, where the device is in the off position and it reads anyway. So Avis has a known problem, and they're not really addressing it very well.
How much difference is it if you just use their transponder?
Well, they charge you a $4 a day service fee. And that's every day you rent the vehicle, whether you use a toll road or not. Plus, you pay the cash rate. You pay basically the most expensive toll rate. And because on the way coming home, because I had the hard ticket originally, and I read the transponder as I exited, it didn't see the transponder read when I entered, so it charged me the highest rate available, even though that was more than what I actually had.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, as an engineer, if you're going to put a device in a car and make me take it, and it doesn't work, and your process is auto-billed, you've got a problem, and you should be fixing it. And if I get ambitious, I might take it up with the Attorney General and say, you know, this just isn't right how they're doing it. And I'm sure a lot of people have the same issue, and I'm sure Avis is making a boatload of cash off of this.
Right, right. And there's no penalty to them. It's just bad service, but who cares, right?
And then they can just, you know, spin it off. Yeah, it's this third-party company. So basically they disavow any knowledge almost and say, you know, deal with this other company. So you got two companies to deal with, and actually three with a toll company. So they make it an endurance test to get it corrected.
Right, which most people are just going to let it slide and eat the cost. Yeah,
right.
That sucks.
Yeah, but that's
I would. If I had a three-day rental and it's going to cost me $20 extra and I wouldn't have to wait on the phone for 45 minutes and fight and argue with the stuff, I would pay the $20 and be done with it. It's I understand, you know, fighting for everything, and I also understand the idea of don't sweat the small stuff. So at this point in my life, I'm more of a don't sweat the small stuff guy. I have been in a I'm going to fight everything position at different times in my life. So
right, and if it was only $20 out of my pocket and never happened to anybody else, I probably wouldn't bother. But I imagine this has probably happened to a whole lot of people. And I don't want to encourage Avis to basically gouge you with no penalty for that. So a little bit of civic duty, a little bit of, yeah.
It's always good when somebody's willing to take one for the team. That's good. Right. So let's go on to Alamo instead of Avis. What's the situation at Alamo?
Let's see. Actually, we skipped one. There's the budget car rental.
Okay.
Let's talk about that one real quick.
Okay.
And this will maybe help some folks out as well. I grabbed a vehicle at Budget, Raleigh-Durham Airport. And then when I return the vehicle, usually they just scan you in right there in the parking lot and you go on your merry way. Well, this guy's scanning and scanning and he says, I can't finish a transaction. You'll have to go inside. All right. So he gives me a little slip of paper on it. And the slip of paper says excess mileage. Well, that's strange. So I go inside and there's, 26 people in line, and it had to be 95 degrees in there. And I've got, this is from a golf trip, so I got my golf bag and a suitcase and a backpack. And it was just really unpleasant. But while I'm waiting in line, I'm looking at my rental contract. And first of all, it's an unlimited mileage contract. So I'm not, there shouldn't be any kind of excess mileage issue. And then I look at the mileage out for the vehicle was 5 miles, and the mileage in was over 25,000. So from their viewpoint, I drove over 25,000 miles in 5 days. So that's what triggered that. And I found in my...
Well, that's easy history, if you drive 500 miles an hour at 10 hours a day. What's the big deal?
I figured it out to 200 miles an hour, 24 hours a day for 4 days straight. So, I mean, it was a little tough to do. But, the mileage out on vehicles, rental car vehicles, is notoriously inaccurate. They just don't bother filling it out a lot of the times, or fill it out incorrectly, or leave it from 3 rentals ago, or they never did it. So after 45 minutes in line, I said, look, here's what the problem is. So I show them the contract. I show them, what I did. When I returned the vehicle, and he says, yeah, you're right, and went on my way. Now, what was good is I wrote them, said, here's what happened, this shouldn't happen, and they gave me a $30 credit on my rental, so I'll consider that one taken care of. But, next time you rent a vehicle, you might want to check that just to make sure and get it cleared up beforehand. Because fortunately, I had a lot of time. Our last round of golf got rained out, so I had, 3 hours till my flight. But if I were running close to being late for my flight, I would have been in a bad way. My choices would have been to miss my flight or walk away from the rental car without completing the contract. And neither of those are really good options.
And did they volunteer the $30 or did you ask for it? What are you going to do for me for this mistake?
They actually volunteered. I said, here's what happened. And I said, this shouldn't happen. And I said, why is a unlimited mileage rental being flagged as excessive mileage? And why don't you watch your mileage when you put it on the documents? And they apologized and said, well, we'll give you $30. So I wrote the letter to bring it to their attention, and they volunteered the settlement.
Oh, you wrote a letter?
Yeah. Went to their website and
chronicled
the information.
Okay, that amounts to asking for a recompense. Okay, good. It's a key fact. All right. Have you had better luck at Alamo?
Yeah, the Alamo one, another rental, and, when we drove through the rainstorm, the windshield wipers were bad. And, I've noticed that a lot of rental cars. So when I checked the vehicle in, the guy says, how's your rental? And I said, yeah, the car was okay, but the windshield wipers didn't work very well. He says, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. And he finishes writing the receipt, and he says, I'm going to take a few bucks off your rental. And he gives me the rental slip, and it was only like a $75 rental, and he took $10 off the rental. So to me, that's how you should handle small problems. I mean, you make a fairly simple decision for a fairly small amount right there on the spot, and everybody's happy. So good for Alamo, bad for budget, and bad for Avis.
And that's an AP move to always suggest the windshield wipers are faulty and see if you can always get $10 off.
You could do that, but that's not one of my plays.
Okay. Credit card updates.
But you know what? If I have bad service, I say something. Not because I'm thinking, oh, I might get $10 off. But if I own the company, I would want to know. I mean, sometimes they give you something, sometimes they don't. But I at least tell them if I was unhappy with the service. Why not?
Right.
And in that case, in that case, it can be dangerous, you know, if right. the windshield wipers don't work well and they need to be replaced, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So.
Now, it'd be nice to follow up and see if they actually changed the windshield wipers, but I won't be able to do that. You know, some companies treat you like they actually care what you think about their service, and some companies don't. So I try and give them the opportunity to make something right, and if they don't, I'll note it, and that'll affect my future buying decisions.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, we have there's a couple of credit card things on your list, but also a couple of gambling ones. Let's go to the gambling ones and see how our time goes. Let's start mm-hmm. with the Red Rock promotion. What was that all about?
Yeah, we got a flyer in the mail, so I'm not sure if this is open to everybody or not, but the Red Rock's done this the last couple years. So the promotion's now through December 27th, and your first 25,000 points gets you a bonus $100 in free play. Your next 25,000 gets you 200 in free play. Your next 25,000 gets you 300 in free play. And the next 25,000 gets you 400 in free play. So if you run 100,000 through, you get $1,000 in free play. So on the less than 100% games at Red Rock, the cashback is 0.1, but they run their triple points every day, so that's really 0.3. And I know they have not so ugly deuces in quarter through dollar. So that plus the cashback is pretty much break even, and the free play is your bonus. So a 1% play at video poker is a pretty good play these days.
They also have double points days, and 100,000 coin in a day should get you a free cruise as well.
Well, at my level, though, 100,000 through a day on quarters was pretty much impossible.
Well, yeah.
yeah. And if you do dollars, what would that be? It's a lot of hands. 20,000 hands? That's doable. So that might be worth looking at.
Are there two of you doing it?
Yeah. So I figured about... We don't need to do it in a day unless we're interested in the cruise that Richard just mentioned. The promotion goes till December 27th.
And is this only at Red Rock or at all stations?
The flyer we got said Red Rock. So I think this is a Red Rock only promotion. And if you play the positive video poker games, you have to run 12 times as much through to get the bonuses based on the way the points work.
Yeah, you don't want to do it on the positive games. I mean, because the other thing is you put 100,000 coins through, you're going to get some good mail.
Mm-hmm. Right, and we like the Red Rock Casino. I mean, I think it's a nice casino. I like the area, nice poker room, wide open. We enjoy playing there. So we're debating whether to squeeze in one last Southwest Companion Fair trip before the end of the year to do this.
Uh-huh. But an extra $1,000 EV might be sufficient to get you over the hump.
It might. We're in the negotiation stages. But we're going to Hawaii, and we'll be gone for 10 days in December. So coming back from that and then taking another trip before the end of the year might be a little too much. We'll see.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know. I don't know if it's open to for locals or not, or you need the mailer or not, but it might be something you're interested in, you know, dollar not so ugly, and extra 1%.
Oh, I'm quite positive that offer is not open to me.
Okay.
There's no doubt in my mind about that.
Okay.
So you sent me a copy of this, or at least one page of it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I read it, I did not see that things were cumulative and that you got the 100 plus the 200 plus the 300 plus the 400. It looked like it was a straight 0.4%
but
from experience that it's accumulative, that's a 1% offer.
Right. And the way its phrase, it says, earn this and get this and get this and get this. And then at the very small print in the bottom, it says, free slot play is cumulative. Earn up to $1,000 for slot play.
Oh, yeah. Good. I do see the small print at the bottom, but I haven't made my computer screen big enough to look at it. So reading the fine print's important.
Yes. Yes. So to me, that's a good play.
It is. What about Hollywood Toledo?
Yeah, that was an interesting one. We took a trip there. I forget where we were going, but we stopped in to see what was going on. And they had a promotion. It was on Thursdays in October and November. And every Thursday, if you brought in non-perishable food, I think you got at least $5 in free play, and there might have been a spin for more. And the people who got the most donated on each Thursday, there was a spin for, I think, $100 and a maximum of $500. And then on the 29th of November, whoever brings in the most throughout the whole promotion gets $5,000 in free play. So the wheel started turning. I was thinking about it. And, you know, Toledo's not a huge market. And we were there, I think, either the third or fourth Thursday in October. And at that time, a total of 11,000 pounds of food had been donated in those 4 days. So that's not a huge amount. And I looked at their history, and the previous year they ran this promotion, and it was 8,000 pounds of food total was donated. So that's a pretty small amount. So I talked to a couple people I know, and we did a little planning and looked at some prices of various non-perishable foods. And then I had a contact with one of the pit bosses at Hollywood, and I texted him, I think either the first or second week of November, and said, you know, how's this promotion going? The rules were pretty unclear. I mean, it wasn't well-defined. The slot booth didn't really know what was going on. They told me to go talk to the security guard, which made no sense to me. But so I talked to this gentleman who was a pit boss there, and he says, yeah, you know, you can bring in large amounts, so they'll handle them no problem. But at that point, the guy in the lead for the promo had already brought in 6,000 pounds, and there was another person right behind him. So at that point, I figured not worth the trouble anymore. I was hoping to either bring in a huge amount the last day and leapfrog the group, or maybe the last couple Thursdays bring in a big amount, but the logistics didn't work out, and the cost to win it probably wasn't worth the prize, so I bowed out of that one.
Well, the other problem too is that because of the new tax law, charitable donations probably are not going to be a tax write-off for most people anymore, at least as I understand it. So that kind of takes away part of the value.
Right. That gets into whether you itemize or not. I think charitable donations are still deductible if you itemize, but the standard deduction has gotten so high that most people won't itemize anymore.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I hadn't even thought about that aspect of it. I was just thinking if I could buy $3,000 worth of food and get a $5,000 free play check. So you added one more aspect to it that I hadn't really thought about.
So had you figured out what kind of non-perishable food you were going to buy and how much that was going to cost?
Yeah, I think you can get a can of corn for a pound, and it's like 29 cents. So it would cost me about $600 a ton. So if I did 5 tons, that'd be $2,000.
Would that be cheaper than, you know, 50-pound bags of beans or rice? Or
that was the other thing that wasn't clear. They said non-perishable. So I don't know if a sack of flour is considered non-perishable or a big bag of beans is considered non-perishable. I did a little looking around. And I think the cheapest cost I saw was maybe 20 cents a pound. So it's still a significant investment for something where you have to leapfrog at least two people and figure out how to get 5 tons of food in one day. And Hollywood's about 50 miles from my house. So the logistics didn't work out for me. You know, the initial information based on how the promo worked the year before and where they were at in the cycle in October was encouraging. I figured maybe at that point I was thinking maybe 2 tons would win it. But as usual, I underestimated what people will do for a free play prize.
Well, I think it's instructive for the ways that advantage players think and how it applies to things, mm-hmm. you know, outside of casinos, because you could easily run into these types of promotions outside of a casino.
Yeah. So, I mean, good for Hollywood Toledo doing this for their local food bank. I think it's a tremendous promotion. And if there's two people who have given 6,000 pounds of food 2 weeks ago, I think they're going to get a whole lot more. I mean, their goal for the promo was like, I don't know, 15 or 18,000 pounds was what they were hoping to get. And I think they're going to far, far, far surpass that.
But when you were talking about 29 cents a can for corn, that was retail?
That was in volume. Yeah.
Oh, that was the volume price.
Right.
Okay.
Right, and then you got the weight issue and actually physically moving it and actually getting it in the casino, and it just got to be too much work. So I will give the pit boss a call when it's all done and just see what the winning total was. It'll be interesting.
All right. You know, one of the very first promotions that that I ever was aware of was, back in the late 70s, I think it was. Maybe it was 1980. The Palace Station, which at that time may have still been called the Bingo Palace, I don't know, but they had this promotion where they would pull every, I think it was every hour, they would pull the serial numbers or generate a set of numbers for a $20 bill. And then you would look at your $20 bill, and if you matched X number, you would get $5, and one more digit would get you 10, and on up to where I think you could win $250,000 if you matched them all. So one of my teammates went and got $250,000 worth of $20 bills, and at that time, computers, people didn't have computers, but he had one, and they organized all the bills and had them in shoeboxes, and every hour they had runners who would go down. And so same kind of thinking about how to take advantage of a promotion. In this case, you know, obviously it was worth a lot more money.
Well, I'm looking at a $20 bill, and there's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11 digits, and three of them are letters. So you're looking at over, if they do it random, there's over a billion combinations.
Right, but remember, if you matched, say, four digits, you were getting $5 or whatever. So, I mean, they had dozens of winners every hour.
So this guy walked into a casino with $250,000 cash in shoeboxes?
No. He got a room in the hotel, and they had a computer and a modem, the old kind of modem where you actually put the telephone receiver in the in the little box and had it connected, I think, to a computer at UNLV. And so a runner, when they pulled the numbers, the runner would come up and say, here are the numbers. They would put it into the computer, and the computer would then say, you know, bills number 642, 769, et cetera, et cetera. They would pull they got to the point where they did not pull any of the $5 winners because they started getting heat that they had too many of those. Mm-hmm. And I think you had, you know, a certain number of minutes to get down there and turn it in. Maybe it was an hour. But yeah.
Well,
that was back in the old days when you could go to a bank and order $250,000 worth of $20 bills.
Yeah.
All right. Let's now go back to the credit cards. We still have some time left. What do you have to say about credit cards?
I guess just a couple general statements. One is more and more credit card companies are looking at how many credit cards you have opened in recent history to make a decision on whether to approve you or not. I mean, it used to be once you had your FICO score, if it was good enough, you were in and that was it. But that is no longer the case. So you need to do a little more planning and not just, you know, grab an offer because, you know, it's worth a couple hundred dollars because it might keep you from getting a more lucrative offer down the road. And also, I found out the hard way that credit utilization per card is important. So I got a Wells Fargo card with a 0% APR for 18 months because we were doing some home repairs. And for some reason, they only gave me an $8,000 credit limit, even though, you know, FICO score was 845 and income was plenty and no debt and everything else. But that's all the money they would give me. So I promptly charged $7,500 on it because I'm not paying any interest on it. And that caused my credit score to take about a 30-point hit. And as I'm paying down every month, it's going up a little bit. But even though I probably have $250,000 in credit across all the credit cards I have, I'm using 80% or 90% of utilization on this one credit card, and that's affecting the overall credit score.
And what is the threshold?
I think 30% is the number that they talk about. So you want to keep your utilization below 30%.
And if you were to pay off the entire $7,500, would it bounce back up or would it slowly go back up?
I think it would bounce back up probably within a month or so.
Huh. And now that you've been paying on that card, can you now call them and ask them to raise the limit?
I've done that twice, and they turned me down both times.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, when you were saying you don't want to take a couple of $100 because, you know, you might miss a better, you know, planning right. to get the better, what are the best ones to go after currently?
I still think the Chase Southwest cards are the best deal going. Even if you just get the card and turn it into cash, it's $400. And, you know,
and then do you keep it? Isn't there an annual fee on that card?
Yeah. So I'll keep it a year. But the annual fee, they give you Southwest miles for that. It's on your anniversary. So you basically pay the first year. And then the second year, I think the card that's $99 annual fee, they give you 6,000 Southwest miles. And to me, Southwest miles are worth 1.8. Based on, you know, how I fly. So basically that annual fee is offset by the miles they give you. And if you do it right, you can get the miles, then cancel, get the annual fee refunded and keep the miles if you want to cut it down the wire. So, but those two cards are 40,000 mile point sign-up bonus. So if you turn around and cash it out, it's $400 cash. So those to me are the two best going. If you want a no annual fee, the Chase Freedom card is $150 sign-up bonus, no annual fee, 1.5% back on everything you buy. That's a pretty good low-level card. To me, right there is $1,000 you can get pretty easily.
Very good. Yeah. Well, we're out of time. Thank you, Jimmy. We appreciate these tips.
Absolutely.
We'll talk to you again in a few months.
All right.
Thank you, Richard. Go out and hit lots of royal flushes, everybody. Good day.